The Mid-Morning Magic.
Mid-Morning Magic.
On Lusaka Radio. Crank it up.
Welcome back. Welcome to Health Talk right here on Lusaka Radio 977. It's a Mid-Morning Magic with me, Burton, and Yuzo, my good friend Mike on the mic. Mike, welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me again.
Yes. It's good to have you back. We missed you last week. We didn't see each other.
Yes, we didn't.
Yeah.
I had a family commitment that came up. My daughter wasn't well, so... But I'm back now.
Yeah, good to have you back. You always looking sharp.
Thank you. I have to dress the part.
Yes, indeed. You really have to. You need to convince.
Yes, sir.
So I mentioned that we've had a lot of conversations regarding mental health. We started with breaking the stigma of mental health is not just about physical.
Exactly.
And also we were demystifying
therapy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we talked about what really happens in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really got a lot from that conversation. And today we have yet another interesting conversation about emotional intelligence, the key to a stable life.
Yes. We do, because it's very important, because we're building on all these subjects, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we want to be able to, especially in today's presentation or conversation that we're having, be able to give the people the tools to manage themselves.
Yes.
So we moved from just telling them the processes, but now we're giving out the tools.
Very, very
That's
true.
Very important.
All right. And the goodness today is that we're opening the phone line so our friends can come through, ask questions and contribute. The numbers is 0977-977-860 and 0966-992-770. So if you've got a question, if you want to contribute, if you want to ask anything relating to our health talk, feel free to do so. You can send a voice note or a WhatsApp message on 0977-977-860. Let's get into it, my man.
Exactly.
What exactly is emotional intelligence? One may wonder, and why is it important for our mental health?
Well, by definition, emotional intelligence is the ability to identify, understand, and manage and express emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is both in yourself as an individual and also in others around you.
Okay.
It's what allows us to pause, to reflect and respond rather than react. And that's very key. A lot of people are very reactive, but just don't know how to respond.
Yeah.
Now, mental health is not just about the brain chemicals that we talk about, but it's also about how we process emotional data, information that is coming to us. So emotional intelligence will stabilize our inner world, and that is going to be key in our conversation. Our inner world needing that stability, that's the intelligence part that we're talking about, and helping us to build meaningful relationships and enable us to face life's challenges with clarity and strength.
Okay.
That's
so there are different types of intelligence, right?
Yes.
Because there should be, is there physical intelligence?
That's a kinematic.
It's
called kinematic intelligence.
Uh-huh.
How, you know how those people that are good at jumping and all these other stuff, they've mastered their body and how the muscles work, and that's intelligence.
So those that do somersaults,
exactly.
That's intelligence?
Okay. That's intelligence.
Okay.
Yeah, physical.
Those that play soccer?
Yeah. It's multiple intelligence.
It's multiple
all at
intelligence
work at once.
Okay.
Right? So today we're talking about the element of the inner world, which is the emotional.
The emotional
aspect.
One. Okay. Yes. All right. So how does emotional intelligence differ from being? You know, there are people that will say this person is smart,
yes,
and this one is intelligent, this one is a genius or whatever. And how does it differ from being just smart or having a high IQ?
IQ.
Yeah.
So the intelligence coefficient, which is IQ, differs from EQ, which is emotional coefficient as well, in that our IQ might help you solve problems, technical problems, right? You are technically gifted in what you're able to do and all that, but EQ helps you to handle people and yourself while you're solving those problems.
Mm-hmm.
In being technical, in your brilliance and all that, you are dealing with people. Your brilliance doesn't happen outside context with interactions with human beings.
Yeah.
Right? So you can have a brilliant mind and still sabotage your relationships, your career, and your mental health if you lack emotional awareness.
Okay.
Right? And your IQ, which is the technical aspect, may open up doors for you. You might get a high position and all that, but EQ will keep those closed.
Okay.
Right? You won't advance anymore. So you find that in a workplace, where people are technically gifted, but they're not good with other people, they don't tend to move in the ladder of promotions and all that.
So emotional intelligence will help you become good with people.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's what it is about.
Oh.
Yes.
I like
maneuvering
that.
People's inner world.
Okay.
Yeah. Being that aware.
Being aware.
Yes.
Okay. So in what ways does emotional intelligence contribute to a stable and meaningful life? Obviously, this is what we're talking about.
Yes.
So
yeah.
How does it contribute to that?
I think it gives you a mastery over your internal climate, because we have an internal climate.
Mm-hmm.
You have a world that is going on within you. So you need to learn how you master that. Now, life will always present storms on the outside, right? Things like rejections will come in, disappointments, losses. But emotional intelligence does not just prevent the storms, right? But it gives you the tools. It becomes an anchor on how you anchor yourself while you're going through. Imagine a boat that is on the sea. It needs to be anchored, right, while the storms are there. So there's that anchor that is there. Now, when you are emotionally grounded, you handle stress better. You connect more deeply with other people, and you make decisions that align with your values.
Ah.
That's what emotional intelligence brings to the table.
Okay.
Yeah.
It really brings a lot.
It
and,
does.
Well, so hence the question. Real life now.
Yes.
Let's bring it to
application.
Real life. Application, yes. How can you tell that you are emotionally intelligent or not?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
Right. Because a lot of people battle with this, right? And personally, I have battled with that for a long period of time. Even my undergraduate thesis was around emotional intelligence.
Uh-huh.
I've been passionate for a long period of time.
Okay.
How emotional intelligence affects academic performance of students and all that. That's what I did. Right?
Uh-huh.
Now, that's a great question. If you pause in conflict, if you regulate your impulses, your natural reactions, right? And you empathize with other people, you're able to put yourself in other people's situations, and you reflect on your behaviors, that's emotional intelligence.
Okay.
Right? And it also reviews how you handle failure, and also how you handle feedback that is given to you emotionally, how you navigate challenging or charged situations shows us that you're emotionally what? Intelligent.
Okay.
Immediately you, like I said in the beginning, there's people that learn to react and not respond. So if you're always reactive, you're always triggered, you're always taking things personal and all that is a clear indication of the lack of emotional intelligence or the immaturity of it shows up in those moments, right? Because emotionally intelligent people, when they're having a conversation, they're in the conversation.
Yeah.
They're watching the facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching the intonation of the voice that is coming to them. They are aware of what is going on with the other person. Remember, emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
You understand other people's emotions and also what's happening to you in the inner world. As you are having, they know how to repair conversations as conversations are going on. And that's emotional intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
In practical sense.
Now, I'm thinking there are people that would term, I'm putting some air quotes here, some people that would term that mama tempawa.
Yes.
Because you even know that if you tell them something that they don't like, they're going to react and it's going to escalate. So, what are some of the common signs? I guess that's the sign, right?
Yes,
is it the sign that this person is not emotionally intelligent?
It is one of the signs. So, one of the signs, not the ultimate sign, but one of the signs.
Yeah. Okay. So, what are some of the common signs of emotional maturity and intelligence, especially in relationships, even at the workplace?
Now, I'm going to give you a list, then we'll talk about them as we go.
Yeah.
There's blame shifting. When a situation has happened, you want to find who to blame, right? And then there's defensiveness in relationships and all that. You just want to defend yourself. And there's emotional outburst. You react, you know, you just explode most of the times. Silent treatment, common in relationships, right? And also avoidance. Stonewalling. You don't want to have the conversations and all that, right? Now, also people who cannot apologize or who personalize every critic that comes to them and struggle with low EQ.
Okay.
Everything is personalized. It's a personal attack, right? Now, maturity means having emotional range without emotional chaos.
Uh-huh.
I have the emotional range, but I'm not going to go into the chaotic a scenario. You understand that?
Yeah,
and that's where the blame shifting and all these things come into play.
Okay, so I can't help but imagine that there, among the two genders, the male and the female, most of how we react is different.
Yes.
And some of the signs you've listed here, I'm already imagining most seeing them. We guys also shift the blame. That's just like general.
Stonewalling, avoidance.
Yeah, avoidance.
We men are into that. Where we just want to stonewall the person and not have the conversation. We just shut down.
But they apologize, Pat.
Yes.
They apologize, Pat. It is almost a fact that women don't apologize.
They find it hard because because for too long a time, even in history, in the, what the psychology literature is showing is that we haven't known how to hold women accountable. Right? For men, it's always that you have to be held accountability.
Yeah, yeah.
So for them, they find it hard to apologize because they don't see what's wrong.
Yeah.
And in our society, in our cultures mostly, we don't know how to hold women accountable.
Okay.
That's not a personal attack. That's a psychological truth. You understand?
It's not an attack, right?
It's not an attack.
Thank you.
It's a psychological truth.
Thank you for saying it that
way. But for men, we usually, men want to take responsibility and it's all on me and all that. And it's easy.
It's my fault. Yeah.
So they'll easily say, I'm sorry. Right? But they do have their own psychological derangement in terms of emotional intelligence. Right? Not knowing how to have proper conversations.
Yeah.
Stonewalling, like we say, like, I'm not going to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, this
I'll just shut down and then I'll avoid
just all be quiet.
I become like a stone and feedy to the situation.
Yeah.
So we all have our flaws in terms of our genders.
Indeed. Yeah. Okay, so it is very important to notice some of these signs so that you are able to chill and know how you can continue with to how you can take the person.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that accuracy of being able to notice these signs means that you are emotionally intelligent.
Exactly. The ability to know and to be able to observe these emotions in other people and in yourself, to understand them, is also key.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about examples now. Any examples of how lack of emotional intelligence shows up in our day-to-day life?
Absolutely. You may see it in a parent who yells instead of connecting with the child. And I'll give you a very practical example.
Yeah.
A parent has got this much height.
Oh, like, on a second thought, I thought you were going to say my mom came and shouted at me. Okay.
You're going to use that. But I'll use something personal as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So a mom is shouting at a little child, like yelling, literally yelling at the child. That shows immaturity in terms of emotionality because you can easily connect with the child. It's like a child, when you look at heights, right? The heights are different.
Yeah.
So when you're looking down on a child and yelling at the child, you can easily go down to their level and understand things from this level because you can do this, the child can't do this.
Yeah.
You understand? You can reduce yourself to come into that posture where you're understanding things from their level. That is connecting.
Yeah, now that is a very practical example.
That's connecting. Now you're connecting and understanding the child's world, right? And then also, another example is of a manager who shames the employees instead of inspiring them. When they make a mistake, it's not good to publicly shame people or in a meeting, shame calling, name calling.
Yeah.
And or instead of... Because in a moment where somebody has made a mistake, an honest mistake, what they need is that they're already beating themselves from within.
Yeah.
It's not your job to keep kicking them when they're already down.
You know what? I do understand that. And it happens in a lot of workplaces and work environments.
And that shows the lack of emotional maturity to read and know what to do as a leader.
Yeah.
You're a manager. You're supposed to inspire others and not kick them while they're down.
Yeah.
And from there, you lack that connection and you won't connect. That's just a practical example.
Yeah.
Or someone who avoids hard conversations in relationships. Like, I'm not going to have this conversation with you. And you keep on avoiding the conversation, that shows your lack of emotional intelligence. And the minute you avoid hard conversations, you allow resentment to build either in you or in your partner.
Okay.
Right? They become resentful of you because you're not having the right conversations, right?
Yeah.
And these patterns can chip away trust and stability in a relationship.
All right. Let's dwell on that a little longer because I think we all relate when it comes to relationships and conversations in relationships.
Yeah.
Now, let's say this scenario of a gentleman. For example, you know that the lady or the guy is not emotionally intelligent, and you know that they're going to snap, and they'll do, they're the same person who want to have a conversation with you, and then because you know if you answer, that answer is going to escalate it even more. So how do you really navigate that situation? Because let's say you are emotionally intelligent, and then your partner, either the guy or the lady, is not at that level yet, and you know that if you tell them, if you answer, or if you give into that conversation that you're trying to avoid, it is going to be bad.
Yeah, it's going to escalate.
How do you navigate now?
It's you who is emotionally equipped to even read, because already you are self-aware. You know that you're supposed to handle the situation this way, or my friend will react this way.
Yeah.
It is your job to mirror the calm person. A lot of people who lack emotional intelligence, they don't have anybody that can mirror to them what it means to handle situations this way.
Yeah.
So you have to become a master in maneuvering them, right? Understanding how they move and all that. That's now you who gets into that that situation. So you need to learn how to maneuver the other person and bring them to a point, like I said, for a child doesn't understand things at that level, but you're able to calm down and see things from their perspective.
Yeah.
You become more empathetic, understand things from where they're coming from their wounded place and where they come. And that is key.
That is key. Yeah. All right. If you want to drop us a comment or a question, feel free to do so. 0966992770 or 0977977860. Drop us a call, drop us a WhatsApp message or voice note on 0977977860 on any of the things that we're talking about. If you have any question, Mike is here to give you an answer. Let's move on now. The growth and the journey. So, is emotional intelligence something people are born with, or is it developed or acquired as you grow?
It can absolutely be developed.
Okay.
Right. We're all born with a different emotional sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
We receive this information. Our emotional lives mostly comes from our mothers, right? Mostly comes from our mothers, because what mothers go through when they are pregnant is very important to form the emotional life of the child. That's why you're taught as mothers to eat certain foods, don't eat certain things, don't do all this. It's because you're trying to create that emotional world. Right. So we are all born with these different emotional sensitivities, but emotional intelligence is like a muscle. It can grow with intentional practice, and you have to be very intentional about it. It starts with self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with self-reflection, feedback from trusted people who are part of the growth process. Are you able to sit with your feedback? I remember when I was doing my training in leadership coaching with Leadership Circle, we were told to go and get feedback from about five people about ourselves.
Huh?
It wasn't nice.
I'm curious now.
It wasn't nice. The feedback would cut you in between. So they ask you to get feedback from somebody higher than you, somebody who is your close friend, somebody who is your family member, somebody who is your spouse.
Oh.
All that feedback comes back. Very, very technical questions are asked, and then you get that feedback and you sit with that feedback.
Wait. So how were you getting the feedback?
It wasn't nice. It's like a questionnaire.
Is it like you ask them a question? Oh, you give them a question.
You give them a question, and then they respond. I mean, they give back the feedback. That whole feedback is fed back into the system to the people that were training us in Leadership Circle. And then they come back with that raw feedback to give you. Because you give a picture about you. You think you're emotionally intelligent and all this, but other people who
don't say it.
They don't,
some don't say it. Yeah.
Right? I was shocked what people said about me.
Who betrayed you?
Well, a lot of people betrayed me. I won't reveal them on air, but a lot of people betrayed me. But guess what?
Yeah.
That was very essential for my emotional development.
Oh, yeah.
To sit back with feedback that's not so good about me.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that was key. That was the developmental part of the process that I had to go through.
So it
can be developed.
I like that. And you sometimes we do have people who are brutally true.
Yeah, they are. Honest. They're gonna butcher you.
They can be all sweet and all that, but when they want to be honest, they'll be like, boom.
Give you that. And you are not intelligent.
Yeah.
You react towards this way, you overlook this and this. And I'm like, I didn't know that about me.
When? You? and I think from personal experiences, I feel that most women are the ones that are brutally truthful.
Yes, when it comes because to tell you. Women are very intuitive.
Yeah.
So they live in that emotional world. They're intuitive, and they can give you feedback about that world.
Yeah, they're like, oh yeah, you do not react well. Yeah. You do not have anything. Exactly. What? What are some of the practical ways can people begin to grow their emotional intelligence aside from, you know, getting feedback and that? Mm-hmm. And that, what other ways?
I'll give you an acronym. Mm-hmm. RULER, right? RULER.
Okay.
That's an acronym.
RULER.
So the first R is recognizing emotions, mm-hmm, in yourself and in other people. Are you able to recognize emotions in you? You know, and that's key because that creates self-awareness. You walk into a room, are you able to recognize the emotions which have been expressed there? That's intelligence.
Yep.
Right? Because you know how you're going to maneuver each person. That's recognized. And then the U is understanding emotions. Do you understand your own emotions? And do you understand other people's emotions? Because you cannot conquer what you do not understand.
Yeah.
Right? You have to understand. That's reconnaissance when you're going to battle. Because the first person you have to do battle is with yourself. You are your number one enemy.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then the L is label the emotions. Now, I used to read Harry Potter back then, uh-huh, right? And I remember in the first part of Harry Potter, there was the unnamed one. You couldn't name Voldemort, the bad guy, the evil guy, right? Until almost at the end of that movie where the headmistress says, we might as well just name them. It's Voldemort, for God's sake, right? And they were able to push back the tides of evil on that bridge when that evil was about to consume them. Mm. It's a very deep psychological principle to learn to label things that are eating you up.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going. Name what is going on. Are you able to label the emotions? Then the E is express the emotions.
Expressing them.
Expressing it. A lot of people learn to suppress and not express. The more you suppress, the more you bottle things up, and one day you're going to explode.
Ah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Learning to express it is very key. And the last one is regulate or control.
The last R.
Can you regulate? Mm-hmm. Can you control? Are you in charge of your emotions or they are in charge of you? Who's in charge of who? You know, like, is your cognition, your cognitive life, is it supposed to be overruled? Is your limbic system, where the emotions really take place, is it supposed to overrule the this frontal lobe, mm-hmm, where your seat of judgment is, where your executive powers are, where your seat of morality is, right? Mm-hmm. So when it subverts, when the limbic system, the emotions are controlling you and all that, you make a lot of emotional decisions and not cognitive, concrete decisions. And that's key to understand. So that's the journey that you Roller. Have to go through. Roller.
Okay, I like that. So we've been talking about therapy. So how can therapy help in enhancing someone's emotional intelligence? Yes.
Now, therapy is a mirror. You go in there, it's a mirror.
Yeah.
It's not a place of judgment. It's a mirror. It shows you the stories around you, your wounds, the patterns that you carry. And through guided reflection, a therapist or a psychologist helps you connect with your emotional dots, your emotional life, mm-hmm, right? And why you react the way you react when they come, where they come from, and how you respond and how you can respond in a very different way. Now, therapy empowers emotional mastery.
Okay.
You become a master of your own emotions. You learn things like metacognition, the ability to pause in the middle of a heated discussion and then analyze yourself, how you're responding, how this other person is speaking and all that, and summoning the best part of you. You know, like the better version of you. How would he react in this situation instead of the one who is wounded at that particular time? So you receive all these cognitive tools, these psychological tools, mm-hmm, that you're able to handle through, and that is through therapy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, therapy really plays a vital role in our life.
So remember, it's about growth.
Yeah.
It's not just about dealing with the bad side of you. We all need to grow emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on that growth Kev, it helps to just package yourself as you go on in life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the cultural aspect of it. In an African setup, mm-hmm, where emotional expression is sometimes seen as weakness, for men.
For men.
Even for women, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
So how can we build emotional intelligence without losing the cultural identity?
I think that's a very necessary question. In an African context like ours, emotional strength is often equated with silence or toughness.
Mm.
You know, just be silent, don't talk about it, right? Don't go away. But emotions don't go away. They fold into you. They fold into you, and they'll manifest themselves into triggers, easily irritated and all this. And then we start saying, ah, ndiyo mwene alili. That's not the way it is, right? Because they never dealt with some of the issues. So, but in real strength is emotional fluency. How can I become fluent in my emotions as well? Because you're made up of your cognitive life and your emotional life. Combined, they make up who you are as a person. Right? You need to educate our communities that feelings or feeling or expressing emotion is not weakness, it's actually wisdom. It's wisdom.
Ninzel.
Okay. Right? We can honor our cultural roots without while we are evolving at an emotional level as well. We're developing.
Yeah.
We are honoring our cultural roots because we come from a point of strength and all these as men. It's possible for men to have the emotional intelligence and be emotionally expressive in a very masculine way. And like I said, with the men, what we do is that we talk about the four archetypes. There's the king, there's the warrior, there's the magician, and then there's the lover. The warrior aspect deals with your emotions. How does a warrior deal with his emotions? Because in our culture, we want to be these warriors. We're able to provide, protect, and all these. How does he deal? Does he neglect his emotions? Or does he integrate his emotions in a very healthy way so that he's able to be that warrior and to be able to be a person who's able to feel as well?
Yeah.
And that's key to understand.
That is very, very much key. And there is a lot of men out there who really have suppressed their emotions.
Yeah,
because they have to be strong, so to say. They feel or they think if they suppress their emotions, they'll be stronger. And they'll be able to cope.
And most of the times you see it in how they're easily triggered, how they're upset and all these other stuff. And these other behaviors like sexual promiscuity among its men. And it's all a matter of them not being able to deal with their internal world at an emotional level.
Yeah.
Right?
All this GBV, all this rudeness you find in town and some areas you can't pass.
Because they're not emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
It's because they're not. Mm-hmm. And when we harness that power inside us, you know, the emotional aspect, and be able to channel it the right way, you'll find that it actually becomes your ally in life.
Okay. Right. Somebody's trying to call us. All right. So you can call 0977-977-860-0966-992-770. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning. You're through? Hello, good morning. Okay, thank you for trying. You can call us back if you can, 0966-992-770, 0977-977-860. I have Mike here, and it is our health talk, and we are talking about a very important and sensitive information about emotional intelligence, the key to a stable life. So as we move on, we've talked about how a lot of men really suppress their anger, and because of in an African setup, they need to be strong, they need to be protectors, they need to be providers, so they kind of a little bit ignore they masquerade. And how does emotional intelligence affect leadership or leaders, even parents, parenting, or even a spiritual growth?
It's everything. It's everything, because you're dealing with people. Now remember, emotional intelligence is you're dealing with people. You're dealing with yourself as you interact with people. Emotionally intelligent leaders inspire trust. You know, in the midst of a crisis, they inspire trust. And parents, they nurture resilience in their kids when they see their kids are crumbling.
Yeah.
Right. And spiritual maturity individuals, those that are spiritually mature in terms of leadership, they hold spaces for other people's pain. You understand? And that requires emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
How do I connect so that their pain is relieved at the spiritual level, at the psychological level, and all those other levels? So EQ isn't just personal, it's generational as well. Generational. It changes how we lead, love, and live. Generational in a sense that if my EQ is up to par, I'm able to pass that to others in my family. Right?
Like they can inherit.
Yes, they inherit certain
genetically.
Genes. Yes, genetically. So if there is emotional outburst in your family, You see it. I remember. I saw it in my own family.
Oh.
Right, where people were very temperamental. Mm-hmm. And I saw it at the funeral when my sister died. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was scared because now I had begun to understand myself.
Yeah.
Like, wow. So this is where it's come. And I was like taking an observer's, like just like observing from the terraces what was going on at that funeral.
Yeah.
Then I realized this is where I'm coming from.
Ooh.
Right. And I quickly said, okay, I'm going to have to do work on me.
Yeah.
So that I didn't want to embody all that. Understand? You see it in your family.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's just always somebody whom they'll say you are like this person.
Exactly.
In your family,
you lose it. Like
you're like this guy. You're like this one.
But it's preventable when one becomes what we call a transitional character.
Yeah.
One that says, this doesn't continue with me. It ends here, and I begin to do work so that the next generation benefits from the work that you did. Make it easy for your kids to deal with emotional issues later on by working on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true. So this is a side question though. Did you ever try to reach out to those that you saw that really needed some therapy like you did? You worked on yourself, yes. Mm-hmm. But what about those in your family that you saw that, this one? Mm-mm.
Well, people will either say yes or no when you reach out to them.
You tried to.
I did, but it's not my job to convince everyone that they need to do their work. They need to see it.
That is true.
They need to see it. So like for some that says, okay, and again, you don't have to directly approach people, but begin to mirror. Mm-hmm. Like I worked on me, and I can mirror this with you. The way I'm gonna relate with you is different from the way I used to relate. And then that begins the unhealthy people emotionally begin to see and wonder what is it, because a lot of people lack an example of emotionally healthy people. So there is need for one to just be there as a sign.
Yeah.
It's like, because they're panicking. Remember, the immune system, those that have compromised immune system, they're the people that mostly were affected by COVID, right? Because the immune system goes into panic.
But
when the immune system is healthy, when there's an healthy element in the system, it helps to stabilize everything.
Yeah.
So we need that presence, that non-anxious presence. The one who's not driven by, the one who is like calm.
Yeah.
And that was Jesus when the disciples were panicking.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like he was just there.
Yeah.
I mean, they wonder, what is it about him? Like, what's with this guy?
Yeah.
And when the demons are shouting, and they all ran, and then he's just there. So there's need for that character to be there to just create that stability so that other people can mirror after that.
That is so true. I definitely relate on that one. So as we're getting towards the close, what advice would you give to someone who feels emotionally reactive or unstable but wants to grow?
Don't be ashamed of your emotional struggle. See them as signals, right? They're sending out signals. It's a cry for help. Like, you need to attend to me. The minute you are ashamed of it and mask it and try like, I'm okay, I'm fine and all that, you are suppressing an element of you that could have ripple effect for years to come, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Get curious about why did I react like that? Like, sit down with yourself, like, what's going on with me?
Mm-hmm.
And begin to go in and begin to journal, write down, learn your emotional patterns. Why is it that when I'm with this person, I'm always reacting this way? I'm always triggered, right? And your blood is going to be your number one temptation, by the way, your family.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be the number one people to trigger you, right? And that's calling you to say, look, you are like them. So can I start doing my work, right? So practice slowing down. You know, you're having conversations, slow down. Notice what's going on. Why are you being triggered? Why is it that your world inside feels insulted? Why do you feel like you're offended at this particular time? And why is this person coming out the way that they do? When you become that perceptive about your world, you are gaining back your control. Mm-hmm. Your emotions are no longer in charge. It's you who is in charge, right? Mm-hmm. And if you need help, don't be afraid to ask. Growth is possible for anyone willing to do the inner work.
Too true. That is true.
It's possible.
It is.
Right? And anyone can just jump on and say, look, I want to do the work. But it requires your commitment. and people are not committed, life will not give you time to discuss you. You need to carve out the time for yourself. Like, I'm going to just work on me and let's see how that goes.
Okay.
I remember taking a retreat recently and going away just to deal with, because I was feeling like I'm getting so emotionally charged dealing with all these personal issues in my life and all that. And taking that retreat, coming back was different.
Ah.
That really helped.
You know, we don't really do that. I get retreats.
Look, you are the only resource that you have.
Yeah.
If you are malfunctioning, if this whole thing is malfunctioning, how is it going to broadcast effectively?
Yeah.
So you need to take that time. It's not selfishness to work on you so that you can be effective for other people.
Yeah.
So that other people can benefit from your healthiness emotionally.
Yeah.
Right? Because people need mirrors. What's the calming situation, right? You need to be a reality therapy to other people around you.
That is true.
So when they're around you, they're like, oh, I feel like this is just sunshine.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm healed. Just by being in your presence.
Yeah. You know what? In our country, we don't really have like mandated retreats because when it's the holidays in the country, a lot of people will rest, but not like take a retreat like away from their usual. Yes, they rest, but they do not take away a retreat. Like, you cannot say that you are taking a retreat, you are still in the same house with the same people.
Like, the environment matters.
The same environment, yeah. So,
the environment matters.
We don't really go away. Like, we maybe go to the village, to another province, go somewhere, go out of the country, and take a retreat.
The problem is that we've not prioritized the human machinery and its functionality and how effective we can be as human. We haven't done that in the workplace, at home, just for ourselves. We haven't taken time to say, look, I think I need, the beginning of the year, a lot of people made a lot of resolutions. I'm going to do this. Yeah. If you look at those resolutions now, they're nowhere. Why? Because they started with the same mindset, the same emotional life. And the same emotional baggage and thinking you're going to change. That's insanity. You can't start at the same person thinking you're going to change anything. You can't do that.
Too true.
Yeah.
Too true. So a lot of things happen in our families, our communities. How can families and our communities support emotional growth in children and young adults? And, you know, especially in children, because it starts from when they were younger, right?
Yeah. Yes. Let's create what are called resilient spaces, and not just safe spaces, like I always say, where people can learn how to be emotionally resilient and not insulted or overlooked, right? Mm-hmm. Because when we create these spaces, we encourage open conversation, and let's have what we call modal emotional regulation. People are models of what it means to be emotionally stable. Now, like in the family, you can have one person, I'm going to go to that
like
person.
That guy.
That woman.
Like
she knows how to handle stuff.
Yeah.
Let's do that for ourselves. Huh? And teach our kids that all feelings are valid, but not all behaviors are acceptable.
Yeah.
So if a kid goes into a tantrum and all that, okay, sit with your tantrum. You know, the way you feel, you're angry. That's okay. You can be angry, but that behavior is not acceptable. And when you begin to have conversations, it helps. Let them see that adults can feel too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. Adults haven't learned how to express themselves, that they've got feelings with kids, right? And that it's okay to talk about it, to have meaningful conversations, because the more we talk, the more we begin to straighten ourselves
up. Yeah.
The more we talk, the more we begin to see each other's point of view, and the more we become more empathetic with each other. But let's create these reality therapy even in our homes.
All right.
Yeah.
So how can our friends listening learn more or get help if they want to start developing their emotional intelligence with obviously the company you represent, Therapon
Consultants. Yeah. So at Therapon Consultants, we do have different packages for men, for women, for kids in dealing with their emotional life. I remember with the kids, we have what we call the wisdom kit. It's literally a kit given to a child to walk through so that they can apply their freedom. Their freedom that they have as children, they can have the wisdom at their level. Corporate level, we deal with emotional training and emotional coefficient training with different people and managers and all that, right? That's what we do at Therapon.
Okay.
And also just individual packages where you come in and say, look, I want to do my work. a lot of people are averse towards doing that because they don't understand the benefits. But if you talk to the people that have been through that, they will tell you, wow, it was immense for me and I'm a whole different person now. All those things are there. It's not motivational speaking. It's psychological equipping. You're coming and you're getting the tools and how you can apply in different situations, how you react. I was talking to a woman who was seeking for therapy, and she is in Britain. She says, there's a line here, I can't wait. Somebody recommended that I do therapy with you online. And we're talking about the same stuff.
Yeah.
And it's talking about emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Right? So there's help.
Okay. All right. So it's always a pleasure. It's always nice to have you here. And these conversations, I know that they're helping our friends listening out there. So, very important conversations to have. And it's good to learn and know about these things. Emotional intelligence, the key to a stable life. All right. So as we conclude, what would be your last remarks?
Well, we have an internal world that needs our attention.
Yeah.
And how we react at the external reality, how we interact, how we relate with each other, is all because we need to deal with the internal world, the emotional world. Do not neglect your emotional intelligence. It's going to make a difference in how you grow as a person. You are made up of two elements, and I always say this because it is true. There's the cognitive life, there's an emotional life. Together, they make up your moral character as a person. Mm-hmm. You cannot neglect the emotional side. The emotional side needs to be driven by the cognitive side. If your emotional side is not that matured, it's going to affect every other area of your life.
Okay.
You self-sabotage your career, your relationships, your spiritual growth because emotionally you're not stable. There is help for that.
All right. Yeah. Amazing. You know what, Mike? Thank you so very much for coming through. I appreciate you. Yeah. We'll see you next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
With another topic.
Another topic.
We are on the practical basis now.
Oh, yes.
We'll talk about the practical stuff.
Next week.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure. Yeah. All right. There you have it. That's our health talk for today. And as usual, Mike, giving us those insights on emotional intelligence, the key to a stable life. Until next week, keep it right here.
The Mid-Morning Magic. Mid-Morning Magic. On Lusaka Radio. Crank it up.